Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. We're going to share the experience of Alma from NDERF.org. That's the Near Death Experience Research Foundation website. And this one is a rather recent one, added to the site put in at the end of July. So this is a very recent entry. This experience came after many very difficult physical experiences, accidents and surgeries and illnesses, and it appears, if I'm understanding the background, that she has a heart attack during a seizure. So that's where we'll pick up, is right when she's going into seizure. I recall the seizure coming, and I prepared by wrapping my wrists and ankles with sheets so my body would not flail so much and frighten others. It was okay for me to die. I was tired of being so ill, and I knew I was to die. The seizures began as I finished the last wrapping of my ankles, and I went out. I am in a short void of what appears to be a silver gray, very light gray. Then I see that I am standing on a ground that is not earth. I know I have just passed to the other side. I am raptured by the diamond-like ground with what looks to be quartz crystal, white marble, and even something that appears to be see-through glass. On the majority of the ground, there were protruding diamonds that stood tall, smooth, and glistened so much that I did not want to take my eyes away from the ground. Being the very curious person I had always been by nature, I looked up to see what else was there. To my left, I saw a huge crystal blue sky, a beautiful waterfall with some vibrant green grass around its edges. I saw a huge stone gate that led to what I believed was Heaven's Gate. I looked how far this gate extended, and it appeared to morph into forever. I then heard a voice talking to me. It was the sound of a boom of authority and a sweet loving kindness at the same time. It said, "You are here because you have come to me often." I immediately knew all the prayers I had ever prayed had paid off. I had prayed constantly as a child, preteen, and teen of severe physical and emotional abuses and at times depression. I was in a garden of heaven that was at the foot of the entry gate. My body was with a high fever this particular day and had been iced in the hospital several times to bring my fever down. In my near-death experience, I observed the gate of heaven and the narrow golden chiseled path that led to it. I saw the different ground under the path, which was not the large diamond-like ground I was standing on. I was picked up by an angel by the back of my body and taken to the waterfall. I was laid at the foot of the waterfall. The most minuscule touch of my left little finger touched the water that was not really water. It looked like gel with diamond-like colors emanating from it. I felt my fever immediately leave my body. I was then picked up by this angel and brought back to where I had been standing. I saw my maternal grandmother to my right. She was with three other relatives that I recognize. To my left is my paternal grandmother and three relatives on my father's side who I recognize. My father seemed to want my attention and moved from the maternal side to the paternal side. Nobody was smiling, and I thought, I'm going to have a harsh judgment from God. I can take it. I'm here in the garden, and I will take any judgment and accept all my sins as a choice I made when I could have done better. Maybe God will understand what I went through while alive. After greeting my relatives and knowing I had serious work to do with being judged, I stood very straight and tall like a soldier. There was a huge orb of the glistening eye of God that was hovering in front of me. It was so large and filled with light of diamonds and bright white. I said, I am ready. I know I did bad things. You can judge me now. This huge orb of light, the glistening eye of God, told me to be still. It then told me to turn my head and look to my right. In a millisecond, my head was already looking to the right. I saw several blue human-like beings with auras of yellow coming out of their heads, shoulders, and bodies. Immediately, I thought that we had all passed away at the same time and that I was holding up people in line to be judged. After judgment, I would eventually enter that gate and wanted to enter it very much. I turned my head to the glisten of the eye and said, I'm holding up the line. The glisten then poured an indescribable amount of its white diamond-like light onto me. The light was all love, only love, and pure love. It repeated, be still, you belong to me. It then told me to turn to my left. I was then immediately looking to my left. I saw the same human-like beings of beautiful blue. There were rows and rows and hundreds of them. I again said to the glistening eye of God, I'm holding up the line. The glistening eye of God said again, be still. I was showered with more light from it, and it was all love, pure, pure love. I could feel my body was erect, tall, and not diseased like on earth. Again, the orb told me to look to my right. Again, I am looking to my right, and I hear form it, look closer. I then saw for the first time that these are humans I may have known or some I had met. I was then told I would meet some of these people in the front rows. I saw that they were all made of a sturdy membrane that outlined their entire bodies. The membrane glowed the yellow aura, and the people were all water, like a bathtub filled with pure water. I gave a slight wave of acknowledgement that they were water, was registered as I answered in telepathy that I now understood who these water beings were. The orb seemed to be pleased, and then I said again, you can judge me now. Maybe you did not like it when I said that I did bad things. I will change my wording to, I did wrong things. This huge glistening eye of God then showered me with more healing light, said more things to me, and repeated, be still. I was not sure why I'm not being judged. I wanted so much to walk through that gate ahead of me. I could hear the activity behind that huge gate to heaven. The glistening eye of God then showed me for a minute or two what was beyond the gate to heaven. They were beautiful souls all walking about us on earth and how to help us. The first thing I witnessed was an oval table of light. These souls were talking about individuals because I heard comments like, she and he need. We have this in place for her and him. The next table was larger, and those souls talked in a way that I understood that they were helping groups. The third table of light had more souls around it, and they also spoke about groups, and I could sense strongly the seriousness at that table. All I wanted was to be able to start my walk into heaven and do whatever job was waiting for me. I had always said to God, I am so worthless, and if you let me in heaven, I will sweep the floors forever and ever. My attention was brought back to where I was, still standing on the diamond-like ground. Even with all that I had been shown, I still say to the glistening eye of God, I am taking up time, and I want to talk to you. I had heard some of the blue human beings in the right front row tell me that they could not hear what the large orb of light was saying. I look at my right and left, saw my relatives smiling just a little. I believed that I would now be allowed in. At this moment, I am filled with anticipation that the judgment must be good. When I started walking down that little golden path toward the gate to heaven, I heard by telepathy and eye contact when my relatives were saying to me that I am doing fine. Suddenly, the huge white orb of the glistening eye of God dims, and a huge glowing or a golden yellow orb comes out from its right. I immediately sense that it is the light of Jesus. I am bathed in this golden yellow light and healed and healed and healed even more. I cannot speak. It tells me, I love you. Its rays touched my body and I thought I would somehow be transported up those rays. They touched me and then the glowing yellow orb went back into the first huge white orb, the glistening eye of God. A stone ledge then came out of the sky, and a moving art drawing of my life is presented to me. Then another, and another. I was having a life review. The drawings, where I was moving in them, were showing me that I was kind to people at different ages of my life. The first drawing was me at about 2 years of age, chasing a butterfly that was teasing me to chase it. I was giggling and having fun playing with this butterfly. I had a pinafore-edged dress on, and I was in a park, running with delight of being a little girl. I looked at my maternal grandmother and paternal grandmother. They are smiling a little more now, and I feel I have been made as ready as possible. I feel both my grandmothers raise their arms to lightly guide me to start walking down the golden path. Everything goes into a void-like second, though I see silver-gray essence of some sort. I look up and I saw the bright, white, glistening eye of God once again. I watched it leave, like a balloon slowly drifting away into space. It tells me one last thing I hear audibly, like an everyday human talking. Continue to do what you have been doing. I believed it meant that I had been doing a good job of being a passed over soul. It disappears as I follow all its light. I see it as it leaves completely and I am staring at the ceiling of my hospital room. I immediately felt two opposite human feelings at the very same time. I was fully aware that they were opposites, something I had not experienced before or had forgotten if I had. These feelings were that of complete grief that I had been allowed to, into the garden of heaven and was in joy. I think she's trying to say that I was complete grief that I had not been allowed into heaven, into the garden of heaven. And no, I don't know. Anyway, complete grief and complete joy is what it sounds like she's feeling. It was a new joy that I had never felt in this lifetime. I knew I had just experienced something phenomenal and extraordinary. The following weeks were filled with my telling everyone I knew what had happened. I have not stopped talking about this near-death experience. It is my joy. It is my new life. It is my gift and the reason I want to live. Simply to share the story that we are so incredibly made and loved by the all there is love, God. Okay, that's the end of the experience. I apologize for my stuttering through that a little bit. Sometimes the wording of this threw me off a little bit. Sometimes the punctuation threw me off a little bit. But what a beautiful experience. I mean, this Alma is coming from a very difficult situation of pain and suffering and surgeries and illnesses. And, you know, she senses that a seizure is coming on. She'd obviously had them before. And so she kind of wraps up to keep from banging about too much. And she kind of has a sense, well, I'm going to die now. And there's some interesting descriptions in here that I haven't heard elsewhere. All this diamond-like stuff. I've heard of diamond-like water. But she describes these quartz crystal protrusions coming from the ground. I don't know, but I'm kind of picturing, I forget which it is, stalactites and stagmites, one coming from the ceiling, one coming from the floor. I can't remember which is which, but I'm picturing something like that, of a glass-like structure or a diamond-like structure. And so she's completely enthralled in this. And you can probably hear my kids playing in the other room. I'm sorry. also, she talks about a gate. Now, often when I hear people describing a gate, they say, you know, golden gate, pearly gate, something like that, basically the gate of heaven. I tend to look a little bit more scrutinizingly at the experience, simply because the idea of there being a gate to heaven seems to be so stereotyped that I tend to think, if you wanted to make up an experience, all you got to do is throw in a tunnel light and a gate, and you know, it suddenly fits. And it's almost like it's kind of overdoing it. But I tend to believe this person. I don't think they are making this up. And I think, you know, that idea of there being a gate is not necessarily, it's not that you're not going to see a gate or that there's no gate. It's been so much of a trope in literature and so forth that I kind of watch for too many tropes and so forth. But based on some of the other things that are described, I tend to believe this story. And in this case, it appears that this gate to heaven is something akin to that thing that is standing between life and death. Now, I don't know that Alma is interpreting it that way. It seems that she's interpreting it as in, I want to go to heaven, but I need to be judged first. And so if I can be judged and found sufficiently worthy, if only to, you know, sweep the streets of heaven or you know, clean heaven, whatever, I'll take it, kind of. And so she's obviously a very humble individual, feels that she's a humble individual, and I gather that she is. And she's standing at this gate, but I'm kind of interpreting it as, if you go through that gate, you're not coming back. And as she finally gets the impression that she's allowed to go forward, she finds herself back in her body, drifting away from everything and back in her body. And unlike many, many people will say that there's kind of this rushing away, and it's like this, no, as they zoom back and they're, you know, I picture something similar to when they describe things that way to the scene in Somewhere in Time, if you've seen that, where the guy looks at the penny and suddenly realizes that he is now being sucked back into his own time, and she kind of funnels out and, you know, and I'm kind of picturing that kind of thing with a lot of people's descriptions. I don't get that sense from Alma's account. It's like it's drifting away, and it's kind of like it's okay. It's like she's being told it's okay. You'll get to enter when your time comes. But it's interesting also that she describes a little bit of a life review, seeing herself as a little girl, and it's interesting too that upon waiting for all this judgment, she's told, just keep doing what you're doing. And so that's interesting as well. Something that stands out for me in this experience is that it seems that there are additional senses for spirits in the spirit world, it seems that they sense a lot more than they see, hear, feel, and touch. We've talked a little bit about that, about how senses that we would call the physical senses are overwhelmed by these other senses, and it's not that we don't see, hear, smell, or touch, but rather that the senses, the telepathic senses, the emotional senses, the knowledge of where things are in location to each other, just by whatever sense that is, seem to be much stronger than the physical based senses, or the ones that relate to, or that we can relate to as physical beings. So that's kind of interesting too. Anyway, what a beautiful little experience. Well, little experience, a big experience, but what a beautiful experience, and just precious experience for someone that's prepared to be judged and finds herself not really being judged at all, but rather being loved. And then her, what looks to me like a graceful return to her body, and this feeling of acceptance and love at that, and then it becomes her joy and her work to share this experience. So, thank you again, all of you, for listening. If you are enjoying these podcasts, please leave a review on iTunes, and an honest review, and rate it honestly. Just putting those ratings in helps people to find this podcast. And if you feel so inclined, share it with somebody that you think might be touched by it. I understand that you may not want to share it with all your friends, because whether they're religious or atheist or something, a lot of people are going to go like, yeah, whatever, and roll their eyes or something. But if you find that you're touched by these experiences, share the podcast with somebody who you think might benefit from it. Because that's what this is all about, is spreading love. And if you have felt the love of God from these experiences, share it. Share it. So with that, once again, thank you, all of you, so much for listening.